the mystery of devotional service. Okay, now we go to verse number, the fourth of the four verses. Oh, by the way, my plan is to give you an exam tomorrow, which will take half the class time, and we can spend the other half of the class time wrapping it up all together. Okay? Short exam. Yeah, I know. I see him. Ram Roy walks in. Chaitanya Nikaya is still out here, huh? Okay. So this verse goes, etavat, that's up to this. So we'll spend a lot of time with this, up to this, etavat, eva jignasyam, tattva jignas sunatmanaha, anvaya vyatirekabhyam, yachat sarvatra sarvada. So the elements here are, is etadvat, up to this. We have this word jignasyam and jignasuna. This word jignasa, verbal form, should be familiar to us from where? Etato brahma jignasa. Now is the inquiry into Brahman. So this is about jignasa, inquiry. So, here we have two translations. A person interested in transcendental knowledge, this is from C.C., Chaitanya Charitamrita, must therefore always directly and indirectly inquire about it to know the all-pervading truth. And then from Bhagavatam, a person who is searching after the supreme absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, must search for it up to this, in all circumstances, in all space and time, and both directly and indirectly. Now, Prabhupada is left some of this out, that's in the CC, which is in the Bhagavatam. But the elements are there, etavat, up to this, and then jignasa, tattva jignasuna, inquiry into tattva. That means, tattva here means the ultimate truth. Just like we have atma tattva, so on. Vedanti tattva vidas, those who know the tattva, that's the tattva, absolute truth here. And it must be inquired in two ways, directly and indirectly. And then, sarvatra and sarvada, in all space and times, and in all circumstances. It must be searched for up to this, in all space and times, and in all circumstances. So, in the purport here, Prabhupada begins in Bhagavatam, to unfold the mystery of Bhakti Yoga, so we now know what the mystery of Bhakti Yoga is, the ultimate face-to-face meeting with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's what the mystery is. As it is explained in the previous verse, that's what we have, is the ultimate stage of all inquiries, or the highest objective of all inquiries. So that's what it means, up to this. Up to this vision. Up to the meeting of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Must search for it up to this. That is to Brahma, as far as you have come. That's where everybody else should come. This is the last word in transcendence. Right here. So that's it. The tattva jignasuna. This is how far it goes. Anything else, you've stopped short. Right, that's the meaning of up to this. As Prabhupada says in the beginning of the second paragraph, the Vedanta Sutra philosophy begins with this inquiry about life. So here Prabhupada alludes to that, atatko brahma jignasa. And the Bhagavatam answers such inquiries up to this point, or the mystery of all inquiries. So that's what it is, up to this point, to understand, to see Krishna face to face, and here in these four verses, as Prabhupada said, hearing messages from Vaikuntha Loka. So here's the message. Not only does he see the Lord face to face, but he learns everything that there is to be known in four succinct verses. Right? So Prabhupada says, this is the end of all self-realization processes. Veda, Anta, the end of knowledge. Vedanta. That the ultimate goal of life, as he says here, is Vishnu, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. People don't know this because they're bewildered by the glaring reflection in the darkness. What is the glaring reflection in the darkness? Maya, the illusory energy. So this is an allusion to the second of the verses where Maya is described as the reflection into the darkness. That's taken for the real thing, but is not the substitute for the absolute truth. Peggy Sue or somebody we're pursuing instead of who we should be pursuing, right? Bebopalula, yeah, if you go back that far. Right? Gene Vincent and the Vultures, right? And as such, yeah, I know this stuff. If I had a proper education, just think of what I would know. Instead, I know, Gene Vincent, I can sing the song too. This is why we got to catch him young. He could take another birth just for that stuff, you know. So everyone is Now, there's an inquiry. So the inquiry has to go on. So if there's an inquiry, we have to ask the question, from whom must we inquire? Who do we interrogate? Now, scientists sometimes speak of themselves as interrogating material nature, you know, when they take rats and torture them. This is called interrogation. They interrogate material nature. But here, Prabhupada says that so there must be an inquiry. So who do we interrogate? So that's answered the next thing. And again, in the second paragraph, one who is imbued with such sincere inquiries must ask the bona fide spiritual master in the disciplic succession from Brahmaji, and that is the direction given here. So that's included in this. When you must inquire, up to this, that is, there must be inquiries, must be put before somebody who can give you the answer. Not somebody who's dumb. There's no sense inquiring somebody who's just going to say, I don't know, don't ask me. Or even worse, doesn't want you to know it doesn't know and gives you false directions just so they'll look good, which is most of what passes for education. I was with Prabhupada once when we had this professor come and visit him, Yadav. I set up the meeting, actually, he's one of my professors. And Prabhupada said to him, you're teaching Hinduism? He said, yes. So Prabhupada said, what is that Hinduism? And he says, instantly, he says, I don't know. Oh, and Prabhupada says, you don't know? And he says, that's right, I don't know. He was being like very, he's trying to make some kind of point. So Prabhupada was quiet for a minute and Bhakti Swarup Damodar was sitting there. So he said, here's our Swarup Damodar. He's PhD also, he's a doctor. Let us get his judgment. He is saying he is teaching, but he doesn't know. What is your judgment? Swarup Damodar says, cheater, Prabhupada, that is called cheater. Prabhupada, so? Baba said, he has called you a cheater. That's how it began, Eventually, he admitted to Prabhupada that he was a cheater. But he said, but I'm an honest cheater, because I admit it. And Prabhupada said, you say you are honest, but the judgment of a cheater cannot be accepted. Oh, he had him coming and going. Anyway, so this is not allowed, huh? Cheating is not allowed. So if we inquire from somebody to know, you know, up to this, as far as you can go, who has such knowledge? The only way it comes is through descending process. The ascending process, you can't make it. So it has to be through the bona fide spiritual master. Because the mystery was disclosed before Brahmaji by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's how it, you know it. Only if Krishna reveals himself. And he only reveals himself to his devotees. Everybody else, he remains shut up. You can keep banging and banging, but he won't open the door. I have another professor I had wrote a book of speculations, and it was called Raids on the Absolute. Well, guess how far he got. He was repelled, you know. He didn't even reach the first listening post. Because the mystery was disclosed before Brahmaji by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the mystery of all such inquiries regarding self-realization must be put before such a spiritual master who is directly the representative of the Lord, acknowledged in the disciplic succession. That's the only way it can come down. The only way it can come. Otherwise, you'll never find out. Such a bona fide spiritual master is able to clear up the whole thing by evidence from the revealed scriptures, both direct and indirect. So here's one purport of what's meant by this direct and indirect. By direct evidence and by indirect evidence. And there'll be some instances of this given later on in the purport. Now there's another meaning, another sense of direct and indirect, which I want to bring up now since we're on the topic, in the purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Again, Prabhupada begins this purport by saying, those who are serious about knowledge of the transcendental world must approach a bona fide spiritual master to learn the science both directly and indirectly. So again, the emphasis is on approaching a spiritual master. That's what this text is about. But Prabhupada points out here, he gives another meaning, also another meaning to direct and indirect. One must learn both the means to approach the desired destination and the hindrances to such progress. So that's the meaning of direct and indirect. At the end of the purport, he says, directly and indirectly suggest that one must learn the process of devotional service in its two aspects. One must directly execute the process of devotional service and indirectly avoid impediments to progress. So there's two senses of direct and indirect. One, you must be able to teach from the scriptures where this ultimate goal is directly pointed out and indirectly pointed out. And second of all, direct means to do the positive things, is direct, and avoid the negative things, the impediments. That's indirect. Okay, is that understood? Sure, the whole Bhagavad Gita takes things that are indirectly pointed out and makes them direct. That's what the Bhagavad Gita is about. An indirect way to Krishna is worshipping demigods. An indirect way to Krishna is performing yoga. An indirect way to Krishna is performing sacrifice. And these are all indirect processes. That Krishna says, ultimately, these Vedic processes all lead to me. Vedaish to sarva ahameva vedyo. By all the Vedas, I alone am to be known. But they're indirect. And therefore Krishna says, sarva dharman parijaja mame kam saram. But you can give up all these indirect means and come directly to me for shelter. So Krishna shows how all these different processes lead to him. Whenever you're doing yajna, ultimately I'm the only enjoyer of all those sacrifices and austerities. Vishwanath Chakravarti says that in all these yajnas there's a tinge of bhakti. But ultimately that builds up and you worship Krishna. If you're worshipping the different demigods, well, you're actually worshipping me, but it's a vidipurvakam. You're doing it in a wrong way. And you should know that the demigods are simply acting as my agents, and I'm the one who's giving everything. So come to me directly, and so on. So these are all the different Vedic processes. They're indirect ways for Krishna. But directly you can take to bhakti yoga. Indirectly you can gradually come up to the position of bhakti yoga. And he mentions here later on, specifically in the purport, Varnashram Dharma. Well, I can't say about Moses, particularly.
God
says. That's true. Actually, he does. He says. He says that. Yeah, that bush was earlier. But Jesus says there's more things that I cannot disclose to you now. So as they surrender to me, I reveal myself to them. So you have enough revelation according to surrender. Now, Moses may have been, there may be things that Moses knew that's not disclosed too. That's another thing that you have to be aware of. But what's in the Bible is as much as people could understand. The point is, why is it that you're not in the Bible not able to see God in the form of a human being? Because immediately you think he's one of us. Therefore, I never disclose myself like this to those who are envious. There's obviously envy of God present there. Because while Moses is up there, everybody's down there building golden calves and things like that. The whole Bible is a history of chastisement of people. Every time God turns around, they're building, they're worshiping Baal, Ishtar, all these things, you know. There's not a whole lot of pure devotional service. It's mostly ritualistic stuff. Anyway, so that's why. So even if Moses was better than that, it's not recorded. Anything else? Let's go straight to here so far. Direct and indirect, we understand that?
I have a question.
Yeah.
Does it indirectly mean that instruction doesn't parallel with expectable?
Doesn't who with respect?
Parallel.
Okay.
With the expectable, predictable progress according to students' opinion from spiritual communication to spiritual master, you're expecting that you will get duty that is. Let's say equal to your mm-hmm. expectation, or you think about yourself that you're supposed to do something. What mm-hmm. spiritual master do exactly opposite?
No, when you do what the spiritual master says, that's direct.
Yes.
And when you don't, and indirect means you should not do what the spiritual master doesn't say.
also, it would get mean the spiritual master wouldn't give me duty or wouldn't give the duty to the student according to student's expectation.
Maybe not.
Or logic, mm-hmm. and that would be indirect also, right? So then there's.
That's another meaning. That's your own. I'm just trying to explain what Prabhupada explains here, what it means by direct and indirect. So direct instruction is, this is what you have to do to go to Krishna. Indirect is, and these are the things you have to avoid. Direct instruction is, accept those things favorable to Krishna consciousness. Indirect is, avoid those things that are unfavorable. Right? So unfavorable is to disobey the order of the spiritual master. So far. No, we'll get to all space and all time later on. I'm just talking about direct and indirect.
That's the term, but according to that purpose, translational here, it seems that it's got more communication with the transcendent. And it was like a...
It's telling you how to get there.
Sure.
Now, you have to do those things that are favorable and avoid the things that are unfavorable, right?
Yes.
And you also have to understand that everyone, everywhere, in every way, is searching for Krishna. All people are following my paths in all respects, Krishna says. So, directly or indirectly, but best is direct. Because we really don't have the time and the leisure for the indirect processes. We should take to the direct. That's Krishna's offer. Come to me directly. That's what the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says. Forget all this other stuff. You'll never do it anyway.
So the Bible is indirect.
Yeah, the Bible is karma kanda, jnana kanda, these are indirect. Direct is abandon all other things and surrender me alone. That's also there. That's also there in the Bible. But sometimes people don't notice it. It's also there in the Bhagavad Gita. In our next paragraph, if I can get back to the text, is about how people don't notice what's in the Bhagavad Gita. How even though Krishna goes and he takes the whole Vedas and he analyzes it and he says things in the most straightforward, direct manner, people still manage not to understand. Well, they have reasons why they don't want to understand. People, I think we have this experience in our very own lives. When we tell people something they don't want to hear, somehow or other, they don't manage to hear. Or they manage not to hear. You know, so this is illustrated, as Prabhupada says, on so many commentaries on the Bhagavad Gita by people who are not in the line of disciplic succession. They distort it. But the instructions of the Lord are there. Manmana, bhavamad bhakto. You can't. Manmana. Always think of me. Bhavamad bhakto. Become my devotee. Madhyayi. Worship me. Mam namaskaru. Offer your obeisances to me. I mean, that's real simple. Even the Sanskrit is grade school Sanskrit. You know, when you learn Sanskrit, the first thing you study is Bhagavad Gita because it's so easy. It's not complicated. You can't get any simpler than Bhagavad Gita. But still, they don't understand. It is not to Krishna you must surrender, but to that which is unborn within Krishna. See, immediately make it more complicated. So when you see something that's real complicated, watch out. You know, because people are trying to weasel their way around Krishna. Find some way that Krishna says surrender, and you say, yes, I accept that, but it really means don't surrender. Devotees are simple, you know, which is different from being simple-minded. Simple means vyavasa atmika buddhi. The aim is one, you know, and not deflected. Okay, let's go on. Then, I'm going through the purport here on paragraph 4, which is on page 199 in this one, Bhagavatam. Prabhupada says, indirectly it is said that the whole Vedic social construction of human society is so made that everyone acts as part and parcel of the complete body of the Lord. So in that complete body of the Lord, which is the Varnashram Dharma Society, if there's proper guidance, everyone is serving Krishna. Even those people that may not be so devoted, they're all serving Krishna. They are meant to serve, this is all the Varnas and Ashrams, are meant to serve the Lord's whole body conjointly. Otherwise, the parts become unfit to be coordinated with the supreme consciousness of oneness. So in the diverse parts of the social body, they're all coordinated in oneness because the aim is service to Krishna. People are engaged by other people in Krishna's service. And everyone is engaged in Krishna's service. Universal consciousness. Here it is, that universal consciousness, right? Universal consciousness is factually achieved by coordinated service of all concerned, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that alone can ensure total perfection. And then he goes on to mention how this lack of such universal consciousness, because all the great leaders, philosophers, speculators, politicians, industrialists, and so on, social reformers, cannot give any relief because they do not know up to this, the mystery of bhakti yoga. So the social body is uncoordinated and spastic. It's not coherent. It's incoherent. Uncoordinated. No, that's the problem. And so therefore, then there's a long purport about what they should do. Yeah. Well, you look at what Ramananda Roy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Saying it's external.
It's external, yeah.
So indirectly saying.
Indirectly, yeah. It gets you there, but if you can go directly to, you know, Krishna Prema, that's best.
But it also directly means that he's supporting Vaishnava society, the body mm-hmm. of Vaishnava society. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, indirectly, they support the individual approach more than.
Mm-hmm. See, in Varnashram Dharma, you can have a lot of people who are practicing Karma Yoga, which is not pure devotional service. They may support the aims of devotional service. They may support the devotees, but they are not themselves practicing devotional service. Well, better that than just go off and do any old thing. But according to the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, even this Krishna consciousness movement consists of, in principle, three groups of people. Krishna says, surrender to me. That means engage spontaneously in devotional service. So, spontaneous devotee. If you can't do that, Krishna says, follow the principles of Vaidhi Bhakti. And in the purport, Prabhupada explains what those principles are. Rise for Mangalarti, chant your rounds in the morning, follow the four regular principles, be a strict devotee according to the rules and regulations of Vaidhi Bhakti under the guidance of the spiritual master. And then he says, if you can't do that, then work for me. Prabhupada said, this means that you must be at least sympathetic to the mission of Krishna consciousness. And even if you're not following the principles of Vaidhi Bhakti, you can provide labor, money, land, or organization. Then if you can't do that, then you can help with United Way and the Boy Scouts. That's what he says. So those three groups, in principle, make up the Krishna consciousness movement. And that third group is not following Vaidhi Bhakti, yet they're part of the Krishna consciousness movement. That raises a lot of issues, but we can't get into them here. I want to go on to the next part. This is the fifth paragraph, if you've got them numbered in Bhagavatam. Now Prabhupada turns, having explained up to this and directly and indirectly, we now turn to Sarvatra and Sarvada. Sarvatra, Sarvada. Everywhere and at all times. And this gets really interesting. 201 in Bhagavatam. Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhupada therefore comments on the word sarvatra sarvada in the sense that the principles of bhakti yoga or devotional service to the Lord are apt in all circumstances. And then he glosses, recommended in all the scriptures, whether directly or indirectly, performed by all authorities, important in all places, useful in all causes and effects, etc. Top of the page, first paragraph on the page. ETC, etc. And so on. Und so weiter. And what else?
APT.
Apt. Oh. Appropriate. Pertinent. Right. Right and also correct. I thought you meant etc. Okay. Apt.
Centered on the Lord.
Yeah, it is.
As opposed to David, is that correct? Or you mentioned
it. Just explain this. Yeah. Again, direct devotional service is beyond Varnashram Dharma. Even. But Varnashram Dharma, because in the conversation with Ramananda Roy, he begins with direct devotional service, and Chaitanya says, this is superficial. You can go higher. So as you go higher, you get more and more direct, and less indirect. But it's indirect also in that it engages people in Krishna service who are not actually following even all the principles of devotional service. So long as their activities are coordinated by a brain that's Brahman, who have gone up to this, then the rest of society will be properly situated, even if they don't know.
But what will be their benefit?
They make progress in spiritual life, and they'll become direct.
Eventually.
Eventually. Yeah, eventually, gradually.
It's like an incentive to the industry.
Of course, you could get hung up for a long time in the Brahma Jyoti and never get where you're going. Then you're incomplete. You haven't gone up to this.
Well, isn't it important to understand experience Brahma?
No, not important at all. Utterly useless. Waste of time.
Would you like to explain that?
It's a side effect of Krishna consciousness. many, many people are trying to get the side effects of Krishna consciousness without the Krishna consciousness. Just go for Krishna consciousness. Everything else will automatically come. That's called faith by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Faith means knowing that in accomplishing the purposes of devotional service, everything else is automatically accomplished.
But also it says that you can understand Krishna directly, but you never will be able to understand him completely. So if you approach directly, you will might understand from
You got some better way?
No.
All right. So.
But there's an idea, is there?
What idea? That there's a better way?
That there's always something to learn about Krishna.
Yeah, definitely. Krishna's always learning about Krishna.
Right. So the Brahman also might give space to the perspective.
No. Useless. We're in the Brahma Jyoti. It's automatically included in Krishna consciousness. Okay. Because you automatically understand you're not your body. But you don't want it. But for a devotee, if he actually merges into the Brahma Jyoti, then Krishna disappears and it's hell. You want a little taste of hell too?
Really?
Okay, I didn't think so. Let's go on.
Yes.
Let's go on. I want to finish this class in a timely way. So, sarvatra, in all circumstances. Now look at this. I'm going to... So that then there's some quotes from various scriptures, directly and indirectly, Prabhupada says, which indicate the goal is Krishna. And that's what he does. Then we come to the eighth paragraph in the bottom of page 202. Last paragraph in the bottom of that page. Similarly, the liberty of discharging transcendental service to the Lord is invested in everyone. Even the women, the shudras, the forest tribes, or any other living beings born in sinful conditions. Then he quotes Bhagavatam. That the lowest of human beings can be transformed. So now we have in all times, all places, all people. Not only all people, even animals. Here from the Garuda Purana, even the worms, birds, and beasts are assured of elevation to the highest perfection of life if they are completely surrendered to the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So what to speak of the philosophers amongst the human beings. So Prabhupada pulls out this from the Bhagavatam, talking about Sri Shuja Hunas, Shabaras. Hunas and Shabaras are tribal people, aboriginal people. Apipapa Jivaha and other sinful people and so on. So everybody. And now listen to this. Now here's the credo of the Krishna consciousness movement. 10th paragraph. Therefore there is no need to seek properly qualified candidates for discharging devotional service to the Lord. Boy, don't we know it, huh? And Prabhupada very boldly put this into action. Let them be either well-behaved or ill-trained. Let them be either learned or fools. Let them be either grossly attached or in the renounced order of life. Let them be liberated souls or desirous of salvation. Let them be inexpert in the discharge of devotional service or expert in the same. All of them can be elevated to the supreme position by discharging devotional service under the proper guidance.
Prabhupada
ki. That's right. And that's why we're here. But notice, please, it does say, by discharging devotional service under the proper guidance. We do have to discharge devotional service, and we do have to have proper guidance. Otherwise, if we can just do that, even if we're birds or worms, we can make it. You know. So, and Prabhupada goes on, then he quotes from the Api Chit Sudaracharo. And then he says, I'm going over page 204, and thus any person, whoever or whosoever, she or he may be, he or she may be, even the fallen women, the less intelligent laborer, the dull mercantile man, or even a man lower than all these, can attain the highest perfection of life by going back home, back to Godhead, provided that he or she takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord in all earnestness. This, sincere earnestness is the only qualification that can lead one to the highest perfectional stage of life. And then he goes on to say how it works no matter what. So that's our, as I said, that's our credo. All people, anybody, anywhere, we accept everyone. That creates problems. There's no doubt about it. But that's what Prabhupada did, and that's what we have to do. But we have to make arrangement that all such people, when they come in, do get proper guidance and do follow. Otherwise, it won't work. That earnestness has to be there. We have to follow the process. Yeah.
It sort of implies then that Bharatan Dharma, or the effort to improve society so that it's more spiritually supported, is not necessary.
First, yeah. Said
we
should. Yes. Yeah. That's just because, you know, just you coming up to glory.
Well, that's the first thing. Look, that's what we have to do. I mean, on this matter, like say there's an effort to make people vegetarians. There's an effort to make people conserve the earth. These are sub-religious principles. Really, our effort should be to make people devotees. Let's specialize in that. And because not very many people come to that point, our business is to provide the head for society. And then you'll find that automatically, as a byproduct of that effort, other people will do other things. Who have come into contact with the heat of Krishna consciousness and gotten a little warm, somehow or other, automatically those other people will be produced to do these other things that will help the effort of Krishna consciousness, no doubt. But our business is to give the essential up to this. And then the other things in gradations automatically will follow. I'm sure as a byproduct of the Krishna consciousness movement, there will be sincere and serious worshippers of demigods created. We don't have to go out of our way to do that. That will automatically happen. By people who won't be able to take fully the Krishna consciousness, but somewhere else will take up some other subsidiary thing. I think that'll automatically happen. Or what, all these other indirect things. What Prabhupada is giving is the direct thing. And as so far as possible, we should do that. That's what we need, is those class of direct preachers. Yeah. Sometimes it's directly. Just putting the holy name in the atmosphere does all kinds of things. It saturates the ether. Other people move through it. Their minds are changed. As a general rule, worms cannot practice devotional service. Should a worm be able to follow the principles of Krishna consciousness, then that worm can be elevated. Yeah. Yeah. We'll have to delay our mission to the worms. We just have to deal, as Prabhupada said, we should deal with the animals in human form.
Right.
That's bad enough. Mark, do you have a... Definitely. They eat crumbs of prasada. They eat the stool of devotees. Right? Imagine there's some... You know, anyway, yeah. Wherever devotees are, all kinds of living entities become benefited. You know, so they do make advancement. What, in the Varnashram Dharma?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. Prabhupada wanted to establish Varnashram Dharma. He said that was the other 50% of my work.
Yes. No, but I mean, the ones that were preaching...
No, well, sometimes people stop preaching mostly because they lost faith. I think most of the time people stop preaching as they were taught for a while. Well, I still want to be a devotee, but I'm not quite sure if I want to bring people into ISKCON or not. So that definitely has an inhibitory effect on your ability to preach if you lack enthusiasm for the Krishna. Now, these people may become devotees, but gosh, I don't know what's going to happen to them. Who will take care of them? Will they make spiritual advancement? So I think that was more had to do with it. Then the other thing that happened was certain economic changes, which... People say Varnashram, they say when a householder makes his own money, that's all of a sudden Varnashram Dharma. Not necessarily. But what did happen in our movement is we had a kind of a socialist economic system, which has now gone through perestroika.
somewhat in advance of the Soviet Union and other places, where now it's economically decentralized and householders are financially autonomous. And that has diverted some energy from preaching because it takes time and money to become financially autonomous. I think that's a temporary thing, and that as soon as these people start to make a little more money, we'll have the energy again to do some preaching. And I think it's a good thing. It could have been done without stopping preaching, but because it happened to be mixed up with a loss of faith in many people, it happened in that way. But definitely the socialist state was in my mind, a temporary measure that in time had to be dissolved created an artificial substitute for surrender, which is being under somebody's economic control. Now to get people to do service and you don't control their purse strings is a little more difficult, but also more real. So the surrender is more real. So I don't see it as a bad thing. It's just going to take time to develop. And it will be more, ultimately will lead to more of a Varnashram, because it's a grihastha ashram. Instead of all grihasthas being like brahmacharis, now only some will be. And others will be more like householders. They'll have a house to hold. And that requires other place of energy. So it'll work out. It'll work out. I want to finish this this verse here. It'll be pretty quick here. So he goes on. We're going on to the end of paragraph 10, which is on page 205. Top of page 205. Therefore, in all continents, in all planets, in all universes, devotional service to the Lord or bhakti yoga is current. Right? He goes back to that theme. And that is the statement of Srimad Bhagavatam or allied scriptures. Everywhere means in every part of the creation of the Lord. And then he says, the Lord can be served by all senses. So, by all senses. And then he goes on to say, all activities, all ingredients, and by all work. All there. Prabhupada keeps going. Showing the completeness of devotional service. Do whatever you like, or whatever may be easiest for you to do. Eat whatever you may eat. Sacrifice whatever you can sacrifice. Give whatever you may give in charity, and do whatever you may undertake in penance. But everything must be done for Him only. If you do business, or if you accept some employment, do so on behalf of the Lord. And so on. So this way Prabhupada keeps elaborating. Everywhere, all senses, all activities, all ingredients, all work, all employment, and so on. And then on page 206 in paragraph 12, he says, comes to a principle, mentions that by worshipping the Lord all the demigods are taken care of. So he says, the Lord is all-pervading. This is toward the bottom of the page. And therefore service unto Him is also all-pervading. That's the principle. And that's why in the Chaitanya Charitamrita translation, the Lord is described as the all-pervading truth. Sarvatra, sarvada, all-pervading. Sarvatra, everywhere. Sarvada, always. Because that's the Lord is always and the Lord is everywhere, so devotional service simultaneously, similarly is also and everywhere. And then, at the top of page 207, you get this little passage, which might be a little obscure to some people. Therefore, in all cases, namely, nominative, objective, causative, dative, ablative, possessive, and supportive. These are the cases of Sanskrit grammar. Nominative, the subject, objective, that is the direct object, objective case, what do we call it in English? Object, yeah. Causative, in Sanskrit, by means of, something is by means of, it's a causative case, instrumental it's also called. Dative, to, Give the book to somebody, that's the dative case. Ablative, from which something comes is ablative. Possessive, that's also called genitive case. And supportative, also called locative, where something is. Locatio, in all locus, locatio. Huh? This is
Everyone is benefited by such transcendental loving service to the Lord. The man who worships the Lord, nominative, the Lord himself who is worshipped, dative, direct object. The cause for which the Lord is worshipped, ablative. The source of all supply, from which, the cause for which is dative. The place for which such worship is done, locative, and so on. That's what that means. Yeah, so all cases, in all Sanskrit cases, the Lord is to be worshipped, right? That's a little thing that's kind of nifty. Then, paragraph 13, even during the annihilation of the material world, devotional service goes on. So again, all times. So even when the world is annihilated, bhakti yoga can be applied. He's worshipped in the devastation because he protects the Vedas from being annihilated. So he mentions that too. So really, that exhausts the sarvatra sarvada that in the purport of these verses. There's other things, but I don't need to go over them here. Prabhupada gives some more what he calls indirect indications of the Lord in the scriptures. I don't really see why those are indirect, but that's what he says they are. And then I want to point out to you, finally, Prabhupada summarizes this verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita at the end of the purport to 56 as part of his summary of these verses. It is said that a conditioned soul must ultimately approach a bona fide spiritual master and try to understand perfectly the material and spiritual worlds and his own existential position. That's a summary. 58. So I want to point out to you that in studying this stuff in review, we have four questions with their purports. We have Prabhupada's summary of the four questions. Right? You know where that is? I've already given that to you, where Prabhupada gives a summary of the four questions. Then we have the four answers in two different translations. And then we have the summary of the four answers at the end of 56 in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, 5 sets of four. Four questions. Prabhupada summarizing of the four questions. Two translations of the four questions. And one summary of the answer to the four questions. Two translations of the four answers. And four summaries. I just want to say that's what we've really covered here in this class. Anyway, the test will be really easy, as I said. Easy for some. When I say it's easy, when someone finds it hard, it's a little embarrassing. But I'll try to make it easy, because this is a quick course. I'm not going to ask you to repeat memorized verses. I said they're just going to be true and false and multiple choice. Although there may be a few key Sanskrit words in the true or false or multiple choice. Or I may do fill in the blanks, or you know, draw little lines from one to the other, you know. I used to do, you know, armchair, stuff like that. But so just so I can give a grade and I don't have time to you know, read essays and stuff like that, so it's going to be done like that. Okay, any questions now? Oh, no, you can't use the material for this. No open book for this stuff. Yeah. This is a question of retention, you know. Roll them off the tip of my tongue? Well, what have we talked about? We talked about a chincha beta beta tattva. We talked about sarvatra, sarvada, vignasu, aham, abhasa, tamaha. Ask Chaitanya Nitai, you'll tell you. Yeah?
How do you see your role in the...
Whose role? My personal role?
Oh, I don't know. Christian's my career manager. We'll see what he wants.
You know, I'm just kind of trying to see.
Somebody told Prabhupada, Brahmananda, I guess, said, Prabhupada, we want to make you king. And Prabhupada said, no, you become king, and I'll tell you what to do. So I'd rather be in that position of telling. I'm getting some political skills, but I'd rather, you know, retire as soon as possible. Anything else? Yeah?
We'll be discussing all the different philosophies that are included in the nutshell way, how they
sound on whole law. Yeah. But mostly it's to know the verses and the basic things that the most important points that are in the purports. Okay, thank you very much. All right.